Yeah, Lord, I just pray that as we look at your word this morning, that it's not just a preach, it's a message that you've been speaking since we got here today. And so I pray that would you pull back the veil and would you show yourselves to us. We want to see you in your word this morning. We want to hear from you in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, times like this morning when the tongue came in worship, and then the interpretation, it builds me up like you don't understand, because I haven't said anything to anyone about what I'm feeling the Lord wants to say to us this morning. And then just in that interpretation in that tongue, there was this message of, come to me, come to the Lord, don't delay. And I felt like that is it's the summary of even what I want to preach this morning. I want to preach about the danger of drifting. The danger of drifting. And the fact that every single one of us drift. And I'm referring to our walk with the Lord. I'm referring to our relationship with Him. I'm referring to, and I want to use a surfing illustration. I hope you forgive me. Last week I used rugby. This week I want to use surfing. Forgive me, but hopefully it makes the story a little bit more relatable. Jesus told parables, common stories, so that people could understand complex things. And so even though it's just a story, the idea is that we could see the importance that actually in our spiritual lives, for all of us, there is drift. But when you find yourself drifting, what is your response? And so, yeah, the land, it's a terrible place. You shouldn't go there. It's really lame. The water's terrible. But in Mossel Bay, weather sucks. We went there on a holiday. We came back early because it rained so much early. So really, it's not worth going. Don't bother. But I learned to surf in Cape Town. And in Cape Town, basically, if you have enough time to get up on a wave and do one turn, it's like you're spoiled. It's like, oh my word, that's the best wave of my life. But that's not actually how waves work. They're actually supposed to run for a long time. And when you go to Mossel Bay, you get there, there's this, the point is formed with all these rocks, and there's a specific way that you surf this wave. But what I realized when I got there is I'm used to Cape Town where you actually don't know where it's going to be. So you're just paddling all the time. People say they try and be cool in Cape Town. They say, I'm going surfing. What they mean is they're going paddling. It's very similar to paddle. It's different. Monet's hating it. We surfed yesterday. He's finding that it's way more. You're on your stomach crawling around much more than you are standing. In Mossel Bay, it's a little bit different. But one of the ways that you surf there is that because the wave comes over the rocks and it lands in a certain spot, there is a very specific spot that you can sit on. It's a little white rock. It's called Monet's throne. And he doesn't share it with anyone. And if you paddle and you sit over this rock, every single time a wave comes and you paddle for it, you get the wave, without a doubt. He actually doesn't even paddle anymore. He just like does this little graceful thing. And then he surfs down the wave. And I promise you, it's one of the most frustrating things, because you can be 2 meters away from that rock and you see the wave coming in typical Cape Town style, and you paddle with everything inside of you, and you will not catch that wave. You will miss it every single time. It sounds easy, right? Everyone's like, yeah, we should all take up surfing. This is a very easy sport. The reality is, in the ocean, the water is always moving. There's always drift. The water is always pushing a certain direction. It's always going a certain way. And so what you find is you might start on the sweet spot where it feels like you barely even have to paddle to get a wave. But very often we find yourself over here or over here or over here, and you've drifted with the currents. And you start to become frustrated. You can't get any waves. Everybody else is getting waves. You feel like, does this sound like anybody's spiritual walk, or is it just me? The nature is that there can be times in the Lord, and I want to warn us against areas in our life where we drift and how we prevent ourselves from drifting. Thank you, babe. I thought it was profound, not just because it was a surfing analogy. John Piper, he says, the only thing that keeps us from drifting, from swimming against sinful culture is not the difficulty of the stroke, but actually our desire to go with the flow. It's not the fact that it's actually super difficult to get there. It's not. It's not difficult. It's the fact that it's easier to drift than to paddle against it. And this morning, from when I started to yesterday, I was having a conversation, and I've been wrestling this week of what do we want to preach, what am I going to preach, and we're chatting with friends, and my wife said something, and in the moment I knew, this is what the Lord wants to say today. I feel like there is this warning that He wants to give us, and He wants to bring, and He wants to shout over areas of our life. He wants to say, you're drifting, don't drift. Come back. Come back. The word was, don't delay. Don't find yourself caught out of position. Make sure you're on the spot where I want you to be. Don't drift. Don't delay. Matthew 24, verse 12 to 13, and it says, and sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. If you look at the world around us, if you look at the people around you, if you look at the work around you, if you look at your society, if you look at the culture that you're immersed in, the love of many will grow cold. But don't delay. Don't delay. The one who endures, the one who paddles against the drift, the one who fights to stay in position. It's not good works. It's not earning it. It's I put in the effort to be there. Because I want to be where He is. I was going to ask you a question. I probably shouldn't, but because you might lie to me and I don't want to put you in an awkward position. But who finds that they drift? I drift. I drift all the time. And there are areas we drift that I'm just going to talk about three. We drift in love, we drift in truth, and we drift in our course. We drift in our calling. We drift in the things that God has made us to do. That are so important in one moment when you get saved and you hear the Lord and you know so clearly what He has for you and you're on the rock. And then you drift and you actually don't care and you're chasing a career and you're taking business opportunities and studies and stuff and things that get in the way of the thing that God has called you to do. Oh, I skipped a bunch of notes there, sorry. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let's throw off every weight that slows us down. Everything that makes it harder for us to get back to the spot. Throw off every weight, especially the sin. One of the main reasons we fall into drift is sin. And it easily trips us up. But let us run or slash paddle. With endurance, not padel, hey? I know you're all thinking the little tennis game. We're talking surfing today. But let's run with the endurance, the race God has set before us. We do this. How do we do this? By keeping our eyes on Jesus, who initiates, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Another part of the prophetic words that were coming this morning. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't stop paddling. I feel like for some of us, you're so far off the point. So what happens is, in surfing, is that when you're here, you catch waves and it's amazing. And if the beach is there and you sit here, you get waves and it's great. And if you sit here, you get frustrated, you get nothing. But it's even worse. If you sit here, too far forward of the rock, the wave crashes on you. And not only does it crash on you, it crashes on you on another rock. There's another rock in Mossel Bay that's just, I call it Monet's income protector. Because Monet repairs boards for people whenever they hit the rocks with their boards. And so it's his little side hustle that he did. He fixes boards. But the reality is this little rock has the one way that he's had an income, a steady income, is because people always, I'm not exaggerating, always get in front, get slammed on the rock, break the board, ding the board, cut the wetsuit. It's called peanut butter rock. It's a tree. It looks like a giant peanut when you're surfing. But that rock, it's an income protector for Monet. Because without a doubt, and do you know what? In life, and when people follow Jesus, I've seen this without fail, that there is a rock and it's called disappointment. And people land on it all the time. And it's because you find yourself out of position. You find yourself not sitting where the Lord would have you sit, but instead you find yourself drifting, going after the things that your heart wants, chasing after money, chasing after people, chasing after relationship, chasing after other things. There's just a void. And do you know what happens? The wave crashes on you and you land on disappointment. And there might be a process in between this, but I want to guarantee you that every time you hit rock bottom, you realize that this world has got nothing to offer you. It's got nothing for you. It always ends in disappointment. Don't become weary. Don't give up. If you're a believer this morning and you're in the lineup, I'm saying don't stop paddling. Don't give up. Strive to be where the Lord would have you. And then I must get to these points. Hebrews 2 verse 1. So we must listen carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. This is written to Christians. Don't feel like I could never land on that rock. I'm a Christian now. I lifted my hand once. I responded to the gospel. It's all done for me. Golden ticket, stamped. No work, nothing needed in my life. I'm just going to sit here and be comfortable. It doesn't work like that. You drift. I have to tell this story because I heard Len tell the story, and it was the greatest story illustration for me. Always talk about being radical with sin and being radical with the small things that come to destroy your life. And it comes like a mole. And Len used this example of, he was a farmer in the Free State, and around the farmhouse he had a lawn. So the rest of the farm is unkept, but around his house he had a little patch of grass that he used to try and look after and care and nurture all the time. But he had the worst thing. He had moles. And these moles would come and destroy his grass every time. He'd be sitting on his patio enjoying his coffee, and then he'd see a mole. Push the sand up, and then you know they've eaten all the roots, they've killed all the grass, and you can run there straight afterwards and you stamp that the mole's gone. And so he realized there was only one way for him to deal with the mole. And this is the way, it might harm animals, but you'll get over this. It's a mole. And this is how we have to be with sin. So what Len said he would do is, he had realized that there would be a time when the mole would be most active in the garden. And it's in the Free State and it's on a farm. So this is not illegal. And so he would get his 9mm, his handgun. And he would wait to when he sees that mole. And when he would start to see the mole, he realized that if you touch where the mole is, it knows you there. So he would stand wide-legged like this. And the second he saw a mole heel, he would shoot the sand heel. Boah! Sand, mole, fertilizer, everywhere. And I laughed at this when he said this, but he said, are you that radical with the moles in your life that are causing you to drift? Because that is how you prevent drift, is you are radical. It means you don't put yourself in the same room. It means a part of Jesus' prayer was, Lord, keep me from temptation. Deliver me. Keep me from temptation. I don't want to overcome it. I don't want it. I was saying this week, I met with Austin and we were chatting, and I said to him, do you know what Joseph's greatest achievement was for me? In the Bible, there's a story of Joseph, and for those of us who know the story of Joseph, do you know what for me his greatest moment was? When he fled Potiphar's wife. The story could have been so different. She really digged him. He could have had Potiphar's wife. Possibly got rid of Potiphar. And maybe the story would have been Joseph, the Potiphar of the land, with Potiphar's wife. He would never have been all that the Lord asked him to if he didn't radically. It says she grabbed his coat and he ripped his shirt off because he ran away from her. Oh, do we run away from things? Not just like, oh no, I'm not going to go there. I run away from it. I don't want to be near it. That's paddling. That's trying to stay in position. First point, and these are quick. The first area we drift is our intimacy with Jesus. That is the first thing that goes. The love of your life. The desire of your soul. The symptom of this drift is that it's tough to worship. It's tough to pray. It's tough to carve out portions of my life, time to spend with Him. I don't have that same desire that I did. I don't have that same feeling. I don't have that same... That is drift. Hmm. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3, it says, but the person who loves God is the one who God recognizes. There is our relationship is not like a master slave. There is a slave element. There is a son element. There is a friend element. Last week I preached about a friend of God. But there is a in love with God aspect of your relationship with God. When you become a believer, it's not like you just have this higher power that's made you feel good. You fall in love with Him. You have this love inside of your heart that changes the way you live and changes what you do and changes what you believed. It changes everything about you. That's what your first love is with Him. Nothing else can take its place. You don't meet with someone when they first give their life to the Lord and be like, hey man, Jakey, now it's time to read your Bible. Now you need to actually want this. If somebody responds to the Lord, you don't have to tell them to love Him. He's just set them free. He's forgiven them from all their sin. There's nothing, they've become untouchable. Have you ever seen that? Like, I always realize in that first week after dealing with somebody when they first give their life to the Lord, it's normally a shock that they're not invincible. Because when you give your life to Jesus and you have this moment of faith where you believe that everything that you've done, every heinous, terrible sin that has destined you for death has been taken away. That your identity is righteous. I don't know about you, but when I felt invincible after that, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm free. And the first time you fall after that, because we all fall, we all sin, we all drift. It's an earth-shattering fact of like, oh my goodness. But the more we drift, the less it becomes like that. And the easier it is to fall into sin. The easier it is to drift in your love for the Lord. If you are struggling with the externals, the fix is the internal. If you sit here today and I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm not going to hold you. I'm saying if you sit here today and reading your Bible is a struggle. and praying is a struggle, and worshiping is a struggle, that is because of a drift in your love. It's not about you don't like the Bible. It's not about you don't know how to pray. It's not about the worship's not your favorite song. That's drifting in your love for God, because those work their way out. I read my Bible because I love Him. I want to know more about Him. I want to understand Him. He blows my mind. I want to pray because I believe He hears me and He wants the best for me and He answers prayer. I want to worship because, like Nick said, I'm grateful. Every Sunday, I think I'm like a one-trick pony when it comes to worship. I think God's like, oh, here comes Danny, he's going to sing that song again. It's my song is always, how could you do this? You forgave me. How could you? You made a way for me. You're kind to me. You overlooked everything that I did. When I tried to write myself off, you refused for me to be written off. You saved me. That's my worship every single Sunday. I'm a write-off, but you made a way. They sing other words. I just jump around to the melody. I'm singing that same song every week. John 1:16. We know how much God loves us. Why? Because He sent His Son, Jesus. We know how much He loves us. And we have put our trust in His love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Can I read that again? For me, that's powerful. We know how much He loves us. And we've put our trust in His love. And God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Oh, that's what I want for my life. That's the takeoff spot. That's that. That's the when you live with that in your heart, that's when it feels like serving Jesus is the most exhilarating thing that you could do. It feels like this is what I'm here for. That feeling of us in God and God in us. Love is the guardian of the purity of your soul. You don't have to worry about purity when you're in love with God. When you're in love with God, you worry about purity. You don't want anything to get in the way. You don't want anything to affect it. You don't want anything to change it. People are like, oh man, I'm battling with temptation. Fall more in love with Jesus. Oh, I'm battling this heart of mine. And I'm talking to myself. I'm saying that I am, and just like you, I'm the same. I find myself on the rock of disappointment. I find myself getting slammed by the wave. I find myself frustrated and missing what God is doing. What's going on? Why am I out of position? Nothing's going according to plan. Everything's out of place. My circumstances don't make sense. You're out of position. You're out of position in the lineup. Truth. Secondary, we drift. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit to the one you received, or a different kind of gospel to the one you believed. When you drift in truth, you drift from the Lord. When you believe things that aren't true, when you're following preachers on YouTube more than reading your Bible, when you're listening to perspectives on Instagram Reels more than the Holy Spirit inside of you, there are so many wow preachers preaching different things. I'm like, you don't need a wow preacher. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you who opens your eyes to see the Scripture. All you have to do is read it for yourself.
He wants to open it to you.
But when you get persuaded, and don't think you can't be persuaded, because can I just remind us that Eve walked with God physically, and she was deceived. And Adam walked with God, and he was deceived. But I mean, in husbands, we can all relate to that. Like, our wives are very convincing, am I right? Michael's like, yes, I understand what Adam went through. If Lucy told me to eat it, I would say, okay. I'm teasing. It's because Lucy's very convincing. Don't drift in truth. How do we not drift? You stay in your lanes. When one of the easiest ways to stay on this rock is if you were surfing and you're looking between your legs the whole time, it's difficult because there's a surfboard. So you can't see if you're on the rock or not. So, and I'm a Vali. I'm not a professional surfer. If you surf with me, you'll see. I'm learning to surf. And what the guys told me is that, hey, it's very simple. You look for something on the beach, and you make sure that, okay, I'm sitting in front of those doors. And then you look for something this way. And so when I go to Muscle Bay, I know that there's two things I look for. And if I'm sitting in front of that, and I'm sitting in front of that, then I know that the rock is under me. It's the same thing with truth. You need to line yourself up against what is the teaching? What do the apostolic teach? What do the local elders in my congregation teach? And is what I believe falling in line with what he's saying and what they're saying? And that puts me right where the truth is. What am I reading in my Bible? What am I seeing in leadership? That puts me where I am. Because if you are just reading it in your Bible and you open your Greek translation on Bible Hub and you go, oh, that word is actually not used for that. That word actually means this. And you try and get smart and you realize that actually you don't speak Greek. And if you take a word out of its context, it doesn't even mean the same thing. And you try and get smart about it. Guys, like, it's just me and the Bible. I heard the most profound thing from a guy named Peter de Kort. He is an extremely successful businessman who's gone on to plant a church in the Netherlands. And his church in the Netherlands has exploded in a very short space of time. And they've planted many congregations. And when people ask him, Peter, what did you do differently? He said, I didn't just build on what I read in the Bible. Because all these other churches, where they're doing all this other weird stuff, what's the difference? The translation of how they understand the Bible. And so he said, for me, I read my Bible, but I also believe what the apostolic have said to be true about how I read my Bible. And I build on that. That's Acts 2:42. When the apostles came, they taught. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It's not just to Scripture. You can lead yourself astray with the Bible. And I promise you, if that pricked a nerve in you and you thought, huh, that's pride. Let's have a conversation. No, I'm ready to have this conversation. I can derail you with your own faith with the Bible. Because without the Spirit of God, without Him revealing and showing, you will lead yourself astray with the Bible. The Word of God has power because of His Spirit. You have to be careful. Don't drift on truth. If you're open to every kind of doctrine, you start to carry a mixed bag of seeds. That's a quote from Len Dazel. Where when you talk about the Bible, when you talk about the Word of God, you mix in, God wants everybody to have millions. You mix in our God is generous with the fact that that means everybody should have money. Do you know why our God is generous? Do you know that I believe our God is the most generous? That our God is extremely generous? I believe that He's given us more than we could. It's because of salvation. I don't care about money. If you sign up and you can find in your Bible where it talks about how God wants to give you abundantly more, your salvation. The fact that you have an eternity with Him. Our God is extremely generous. in the things that matter. The last point. Don't drift in course. Don't drift in what God has called you to. Don't try and think your way. Because do you know what often we miss the things that God has called us to is because of disappointment. Is because we've gotten hurt. I've seen people put the tools down. The most frequent reason that I see people put the tools down for what God has called them to is because they are disappointed. Because a leader has hurt them. Because a person has betrayed them. Because somebody has disappointed them. Because they've disappointed themselves. Because they've written themselves off. These are the things that cause people to drift from what God has for them. I was there. I was on this rock. I lived on this rock for 2 years. Licking my wounds. I lived there. Disappointed in God. Disappointed in me. You can never write yourself off because God never does. You can never say, well, that's it. That's not for me. Because God doesn't speak like that over you. Because Peter, who denied him 3 times and went back fishing, the nature of our God, if a picture of who Jesus is, he's the one who came and found Peter. And he has breakfast with him. And he restores him. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Oh man, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do what I've called you to do. Lead. Look after the little ones. Can you imagine that? Being the one who denied him. The one who failed him. If you know that God has put it inside of you to lead in the kingdom. If you know that God's put it inside of you to preach. To be involved in worship. To evangelize. To love. To prophesy. And disappointment has crept in. And you've drifted on these things. You will find yourself missing that sweet spot in your walk with him. You will shut up. You'll sit back. You won't be on the front foot. Don't disqualify yourself because Jesus came to qualify all of us. Because of him, everybody's qualified. 2 quotes and then I'm going to land. John Piper says this, the mark of a true child of God is that he does not drift for very long. Not that they don't drift, as they don't drift for very long. It means this morning, if there's any of these areas in your heart where you have drifted, or find yourself in disappointment, or find yourself in frustrated, or find yourself not in that place, don't drift long. Come back to him. Don't delay. Don't delay. The second one, and this is a reality. He says, the mark of an unbeliever is when you hear these things and you have no desire to stop drifting. Tones, I wonder if the worship team can come up. Ray, could you share that word quickly?
So Dan mentioned earlier about specific gifts like the tongue that came, and another gift that the Lord uses sometimes is words of knowledge. And just so in worship, I felt like God gave me a word of knowledge for someone here this morning. And the picture that I saw was just so clearly about those like old Russian nesting dolls. I don't know if you know them. They're like little dolls inside a doll inside a doll. I just really saw that so clearly. And it's like someone here that, I don't know if you collect them yourselves or someone in your family does, but I really just saw those dolls and just that like God was wanting to highlight that specific thing and really to say to you this morning, like you've kind of been looking in, maybe you've drifted away But it could be very well be that this entire service was set up specifically for you. This whole thing of come back to Him. So if that's you, just hear what God is saying to you this morning and don't be afraid to respond to Him, to come back to Him like that call has been.
Come, Holy Spirit. Father, you sent your Spirit to come and convict us of righteousness and to lead us to Jesus. And so I ask, would you give us your Spirit in this moment to come and convict us and show us? Would you come and open our eyes to see where maybe we have drifted in one of these areas? Maybe there's disappointment or frustration, sadness, or just going with the drift, not even paddling anymore. Would you come and show us these things in our heart right now? I want to ask this morning, if you feel like there are any of these areas, and there's no shame in this, eh? I'm standing with you, actually. If there are any of these areas where you feel like you've drifted in your heart, and your heart is like, God, I want to paddle back to you this morning. I wonder if we could stand together. If that's you, maybe you could stand. Don't be ashamed. This is not a scorecard where we're checking which Christians aren't. And literally it says we all drift. Every single one of us. Our love. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our hope. And so I want to ask this morning if you feel like you have drifted to the point where you don't even serve the Lord anymore at all. Maybe you're not a part of church. You will know. Your heart will be telling you right now. You'll know. You don't serve the Lord. And this morning you want to come back to Him. You want to respond to the gospel. The message that Jesus says, I am the one who made a way. He died on the cross. He took us sin and shame. That if we believe in Him and confess with our minds and believe in our hearts, then we'll be saved. So I wonder if anyone feels like they want to either recommit their life, or maybe you've never paddled upstream. You're just going with the drift. You just go with the wave of culture. You just go with the flow. And this morning you want to say, I want this to be different. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be in the takeoff spot. I want to live that exhilarating life of following Jesus with every. I want to be in love with Him like He spoke about being in love with Him. If either of those two categories are you this morning, or if you're that person when Ray shared that word of knowledge, I wonder if you could raise your hand for me. Everybody's head is bowed. No one's looking around. I would love to pray with you this morning. I want to remind you of the tongue this morning in worship. Please don't delay. Don't delay today. Don't miss the opportunity. If the Lord is calling this morning, He's calling you back to Him. He's calling you to Him. If that's you, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, if that's you, that's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if there's someone with their hand up next to you, just put your hand on them. That's incredible. Thank you, Jesus. There is nothing to be ashamed of. There's actually a celebration to be had. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you died for us and you died for them. So I want to pray with us first, and then I'm going to pray with the rest of us. So maybe for their sake, you can repeat after me. And it's not this prayer that saves you. It's this prayer that gets you on the first step towards the journey. It's about confessing with your mouth. That's why we pray together. The prayer doesn't save you. It's the confession and the faith that saves you. And so we're going to say this together for those who raise their hands. Jesus, I want to follow you. I believe you can forgive me. I want to come back to you. I want to serve you. Please forgive me. all my sin, all my attempts. I want to follow you. Would you save me? So Jesus, I thank you that for every single one, that this morning as we respond to your good news, the gospel, that you would come and meet us. It's our faith, but it's our faith in your work. And so I ask that you would come and work this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if you're responding this morning, maybe just put your hands out. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you come and encourage again? I really felt that hitting the rock of disappointment when I spoke about it. I really felt like for some there has been massive disappointment in life. Lord, would you help them? Would you come and speak into their heart this morning, Lord Jesus? Would you come and set them, would you come and be the hope for them again? That there won't be disappointment, but there would be hope. That there would be hope, that you would show them, that you would fix the board, that you would put them back in the takeoff spot. That you would enable them to serve you and love you. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us again, Lord Jesus, because it's only by your Spirit that we can do this. We can't even do it on our own. I pray, Lord, where some have found themselves drifting in sin, drifting in addiction, drifting in ways of thinking, or slander, or immorality, lust, greed, fear. I ask, Lord Jesus, would you come and would you forgive? Would you restore? Would you bring us back to you? Would you come and meet our faith with your grace and your mercy? You know that the power of the Spirit is that when you repent, you're forgiven. The power of God, His grace and His mercy to you, is that every single time you come to Him in repentance, every single time, you're forgiven. But I've done it again, but you're forgiven. But I've gone there again, but you're forgiven. And so I wonder, as we respond in worship, we're going to do a song as we land. I would love you to repent specifically of those things to God, because you can't be vague with God. You don't have to come and share it with me, but I want you to be specific in repenting to Him. The areas, the things in your heart. You just said to Him, God, I'm sorry for this. Could you forgive me? Could you take it away from me? Could you give me your Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord Jesus.